You ready for Christmas? You know, it's a lot closer than you think because it's been so warm. It's going to be the 1st of November, like in 2 weeks. It's probably not the best way to start. So let's take strike two. I mean, the second pitch. Those Tigers had a great season, didn't they? Yes, okay, so just because they didn't win, you realize how hard it is to hit something like a baseball at 100 miles an hour when it takes two curves, three hits? Never mind. Now, for something important. In light of the readings today, please think of it. I'm not going to say, can you? Please think of a time when you know God blessed you, saved, rescued, healed, forgave. Maybe you feel you've even had a miracle in your life. Just take a minute now and think about that. Is that something that comes to mind often for you? Do you savor that? It is a kind of a prayer. Sometimes it's called the prayer of memories, or oftentimes it's just a savoring prayer. Maybe in a time when it feels God is not quite as close or things are difficult, kind of like they are now. Sometimes it's very helpful, and even we're called to go back, not to pray backwards, but to go back and really allow ourselves to feel, perceive, and just rest in that moment or time, or maybe it was a whole season in your life where you knew that God had touched you. He knows you. He knows your name. He knows your circumstance. He heard your prayer. That's very much the tone of the gospel and the first reading today. And it inclines me to say, what helps you to feel grateful? What inspires your love for God to honor and worship the Lord? It's easy enough to say, well, we know we should all love God. But the reality of that, as true as that is, we also have to allow God to love us. We can say that, oh, I know God loves me. How do you know that in your life? Give me an example, you see. The words are familiar, but it really is a gift and a call in prayer to sit with that kind of reality, to know you're loved by God. And then in that our response to that love, that we're loving God in return. What stirs your soul might be something very subtle or something really very daily, or it might be something very deep. What stirs your soul to help you know that God is present? It struck me as I looked at these readings that the grace and inspiration of those kinds of moments, they don't happen every day. We know that. Maybe they do happen every day, but from time to time, there really are times when we're touched deeply by God, and it's important to notice those things. Sometimes I think those things get underplayed in our faith. Oh, that was nice, or that was interesting. Well, that was a coincidence. No, it's grace. What is grace? Grace is God's self-communication of personal love for us. Or there's universal love. Or there's love for society, humanity, civilization. But there's also that personal grace that God comes to us in moments or seasons or times of life, in good times or in bad, and God lets himself be known in a deep and palatable way. One of the challenges of our faith is to realize and accept the grace and the favors, even the miracles, that God has given us. You're well aware. We don't think about it because it's so constant in our culture, but we're all very well aware of how overstimulating through the media, advertising, and entertainment. How many people know? How many channels do you get on your, what do you call that? Well, that TV, that TV thing. Cable, the word I want. Isn't there like 1,500 channels? Yeah, and you watch the same four. And they're not really all that satisfying. but some of them are really good, aren't they? Why do we need 1,500? I mean, the culture just shoves that stuff at us, whether it's news, constant news, media, videos, YouTube, X, Y, Facebook, whatever. How hard does God have to compete against all that overload of information that we find so important and just so stimulating in our lives? How deeply or hard does God have to work to compete to gain our attention, the attention of our souls? Oh, it's easy to stir our egos or stimulate our emotions, or, wow, that was really fun. We can say that all the time. Who's looking forward to the I wish the game wasn't so late because I'd fall asleep about 8:30. Doesn't start till 8:30. I guess I'll have to, I can look at the highlights on YouTube. There you go. Does God get that kind of attention? Today's readings really help us to realize that kind of reality. You might have recognized, maybe not, we hear the story of Naaman a couple times a year, maybe only once. I think it's a couple times, but we only heard the second half of the story. You remember the first half of the story. Naaman is, I believe, from Syria, not Israel. And so, of course, he's a Gentile. He's a non-Jew. And he's an army commander. So this guy has strength and power and an army. So they're conquering other countries. And maybe in this particular case, you know, they have some war and they defeat Israel. And he gets this little child, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe 7, 8-year-old girl, who becomes the handmaid of his wife. And the little girl, who we didn't hear about today, really says, well, you know, my master could go to Israel and ask the prophet Elisha to heal him. Naaman thinks it's a good idea. I got to get rid of this. Now, it says leprosy. It could have just been eczema. You know, they use leprosy as kind of an umbrella for any kind of skin disease, etc. So we pick up the story there. And so Naaman, you know, kind of tracks down Elisha, and Elisha simply says, you go to the Jordan River and rinse yourself 7 times. Oh, that mud puddle, I'm not going in there. We got much better rivers where I come from. I'm not doing that. You realize how common that is? You know, we've had the healing ministry here for a long time, and it's really been a great grace. I can't tell you how many people have written us and sent phone calls or emails and just let us know how much better their lives have been because of the healing mats and the healing blankets. But there are those who are resistant. You don't want to hear a blanket, oh no, I'm not that sick. That's odd, isn't it? So this is Naaman. No, I'm not doing that. That doesn't make sense to me. I'm not doing that. So fortunately, he has his friends, this retinue. That's an odd word, isn't it? Today, you know, the basketball or, you know, sports stars, they have their posse. And these people go around and travel with them and take care of all their needs. So his friends, his posse is there. And they say, come on, you know, we made all this travel and time. Go jump in the river, will ya? And then say, go jump in the lake. So here's the turn of the story. He humbly obeys. Can you think of a time when you finally changed your mind, when God was, you just knew God was calling you to something, and you finally, oh, all right. You know, you humbly kind of let go, and you obey that inclination of heart or mind, and you obey whatever it is God's calling you to. So Naaman goes in the river, he rinses himself off 7 times, and he comes out, and his skin was like that of a little baby. We had a 6-month-old baby sitting in the last row there. If Sam wasn't sitting there, the guy would have been sitting on his lap. That's where the guy sat, and it was the grandfather. And the baby was 6 months old. And I said, Naaman's skin became like the skin of that little baby. Now, that's a miracle, isn't it? It was a miracle as an immediate action of God's intervention. Now, maybe more importantly, is how did Naaman react to this? Here's this strong guy, you know, he's really got power and he's over people and he's got this army. But he realizes he's healed by the action of God. So he goes back to Elisha because it's the only way he really has an ability to thank anybody. And he wants to pay Elisha, or he wants to give him a bunch of gifts. And Elisha says, no, I praise be God, I will not take it, because Elisha knows it was not he, but it was God. It wasn't the prophet. It wasn't the water. It was an action of God. Naaman's soul was stirred. Not only was he freed from the shame and social shame or guilt or the pain of whatever his ailment was, a skin disease of some kind, and he realized more deeply that it was an action of a divine power. Now, whatever country he came from, I think it was Syria, that country had its own god. So now he says, okay, Elijah, you won't take my gifts, you won't let me pay you, then let me take two mule loads, two bushel baskets, whatever, of earth. So he could take them home, and on his back patio, he can kind of put a little, you know, set of rocks around, he could put his earth there, and he could sit on the earth, and he could pray to the God of Israel. You see, he opened his soul, and he allowed God to speak to his soul beyond the healing of his skin. You know, the whole mystery of the healings of Jesus, compassionate and wonderful as they were, really were for the purpose of inspiring faith. Naaman took the ointment. And it seems, implies, that he became a new person. The story of the 10 lepers really is very much the same, but in a very different way. You certainly understand that in one way or the other, most people believe in God. Even those who don't believe in God, you can always say, well, who's the God you don't believe in? And then they talk for 5 minutes. So maybe there's something in the way. There's the resistance, right? Now, people believe in God by any name or any face, for instance. We believe in the Christian God, Judeo-Christian. We're not theists. We don't believe just in God. We believe in the incarnation of God, that God became one with us through the incarnation of Jesus through the womb of Mary, that God is one with us. It is true that human beings have an inescapable need for religion, another inescapable need for God. We are not the highest truth of our own lives. And yet that kind of religion has countless expressions beyond the rubrics of church religion. The example I used yesterday at the 4 o'clock Mass, Britain's Got Talent. America's Got Talent. Now, I don't watch that quite as much actively in whatever station that is. I usually catch the better ones on YouTube. YouTube again. Now, some of those can be very heartwarming, right? Some of that singing. No, some of them are pretty, stupid. But some of them are really heartwarming. They bring a tear to the eye. And of course, the cameraman always zones in, and you see, wiping the tears from me. For a lot of people, that's religion, because it merely stirs the emotions. But we believe in God, the transcendence and the majesty, the infinity, the eternal nature of the divine. Religion is called to stir the soul and awaken the heart. Now, we all know it's imperfect. But still, when we come and gather in this way, are our minds and our hearts open to receive the grace of the God through the power of this word and the reality? We believe, we say, this is the real, true, and living presence of Jesus. I know, I've said it 100 times. All these statistics are found and all these polls are taken. 75%, so sad, that 75% of Catholics don't believe in the real presence. I do. I feel it. I believe it. I experience it. That's a miracle. Every time we come here, it's a miracle. I believe that. And, now and again, we've got 2 or 3 of those books, Eucharistic miracles. There must be 300 miracles in there, Eucharistic miracles. They're all over the place. So we've got these 10 lepers. And Jesus says, just go back to, you'll go to the temple. Why did he do that? Because 9 of the 10 were Jewish. And to be received back into society and their families, they had to go to the temple and get a certificate of purification so that the priest could check them out and make sure that they didn't have scabs or boils or whatever the skin disease was. So nine went back to church or the temple. They didn't go back to the source. The one man. Now, there's two reasons why the Samaritan did not go back to the temple. Because they wouldn't let him in the temple because he was a Samaritan. He wasn't Jewish, and he would not be allowed in the temple. Why would he bother going there? But more to the point, and more importantly, he went back to Jesus. He went back to the source. Realizing, too, like Naaman, he was moved not only in the feeling and the pain and irritation of his disease is gone, but he feels a movement in his soul. He knows it's an act of love. It's a divine act of power that he was miraculously healed. And so he goes back to thank Jesus. What did it say? One realized he was healed. One of them, realizing he was healed, returned to glorify God. How do you have leprosy? You get healed. How do you not realize that? He realizes it, recognizes it as an action of God, and goes back and falls on his face and gives thanks to God. Again, his soul is touched, not just his feelings, not just his emotions, not just physically feeling better. He allows himself to receive, realize, and take in the grace of God and feel the power of the love that did the healing for him. I do encourage you then, if you had those kind of moments, and I believe many of you have, God gives those. God's not stingy. Oh, I'm not worthy. Oh, I never get that. Then sit still and pay attention, because God wants to give that to you. And sometimes we just miss that. It's always a two-way street. God can't do it alone, you see. God can't do all the heavy lifting. Both Naaman and the leper had to realize, accept, and then act on what they realized was an action of God. The nine went back and, okay, great, I can go back to temple. I can go back to church now, my wife and family. That's really nice. And I don't mean to diminish that in any way. But notice the difference. The Samaritan, the rejected foreigner, comes back to God. And he allows his life to be transformed by the grace of God. Sit with those movements, even if they were just that long, where you knew that God touched you, because God touched you. He touched your soul. Too often, we allow the religion to make God too small. We give an assent intellectually, yes, I believe what the Catholic Church teaches, or I righteously obey the moral behavior of the commandments, or I fervently recite the creed, particularly at Easter. But sometimes those things are the last things that will actually stir the soul. Important and essential as they are, as a people of faith, that we are commonly expressing our faith in God through Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. But if we realize and accept the action and the presence of God in a personal way, I could simply say, but very sincerely say, God loves you. God, I mean, I said yesterday, years ago, you don't see it very often anymore, and God deserves so much more. You know, the bumper sticker, smile, God loves you. You remember those? God deserves a lot more than being on a bumper sticker, don't you think? So when I say God loves you, the other half of that is that you have to allow God to love you, whoever you are, however worthy or unworthy or whatever you are, God is still loving you. Our redemption has already been given, and it's active in our lives. Messy as life is, right? But if we accept the love that God's offering us, then we understand that our biggest job is to love God, and that we allow God first to love us. A lot of people don't feel that. They might be very devout religiously, because they follow, and I don't want to diminish that reality. We follow the rules, we do these things, but to allow our souls to be touched. We've all experienced the miracle, and it is a miracle, of redemption. I believe Jesus rose from the dead. And in his rising, he just wasn't just one more man that was hung on a cross, as was the practice in his day. But he rose from the dead. Too many people, too many centuries, too many saints, too many people have given profound and confirming evidence that he's alive. And they allowed their lives to be transformed by the healing love of Jesus. The reality is we're swimming in grace. Kind of like the fish. If you have a fish tank, does that fish know it's in water? It would know if you took it out of the water. Do you ever think about the air you're breathing, except when it's foggy or it smells? But it's always there. God is always there. As we worship and praise God today, again, I invite you, take a little time, a few minutes in your prayer today. Savor those times and movements that you know God blessed you. God is active and present in your life, and your life is so important to God and to the world. Your love, your goodness, and your faith can help transform. You and I then can be agents of God for one another. In the grace of God, the favor of God, and the blessing of God in Jesus, may God be praised. Come, Holy Spirit, inspire us and show us how.